Myers. I got the character list in front of me. So we've got the doctor and the fire swell guys. They've got the little part. Wait a minute. I'm looking at next week. Let me look at this week.
Barbara. I don't have much energy, so I can use a small part.
Stacy.
Yes, Rachel, might be Stacy again?
You're going to be Stacy, okay.
I'll be Stacy.
All right. yeah, she definitely gets some good ones. Yeah, good parts.
Oh, I'm also volunteer to be texture.
Huh?
Yes. I'm also volunteer to be texture. Texture. Texture,
yes, okay. Yeah, okay.
A lot of characters, so it's glasses.
All right, so Stacy is texture. And then we have Sophie Promethea. Come on now, folks.
Oh, who wants to be the heroine? Come on.
Yeah, come on. Somebody wants
to. I'll be Promethea.
Okay.
Johanna.
Okay, Vinny.
You've already got the golden body.
I know, I might as well go along with it.
Okay, Vinny Solomon. Well, I'll take it. I also want to be the lead singer, Montemore Psych.
Okay.
So I'm going to try to sing for his part. So we need two Hitman demons here. Marchosius, I guess his name is Marchosius.
Oh, you pronounce Marchosius, did I? Right?
Marchosius, okay. Marchosius.
Oh.
Come on, people, let's have some fun.
This is Sherry. I don't mind being someone. I don't know who's on the call, so I don't want to get
right.
Dinner
it's
somebody.
All right. It's pretty good. He's one of the demons, and his buddy is Andrus.
I'll be Andrus.
Okay, David's going to be Andrus. And Montemore Sykes. And then we've got a couple of very minor parts. We've got the cab driver, who's also the molester of his granddaughter. Very, very sweet, that part. Very short. You end up blowing your brains out. Don't worry about it. Come on, somebody want to be the cab driver?
Oh, well, I'll be the cab driver, too. This is Mary Beth. I'll do Barbara and the cab driver.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Little bitty
okay.
Part.
And then, yeah, and then the bouncer is a real itty-bitty part. Anyway, don't be shy. It's only a couple of lines. Same with the doctor.
I'll be the bouncer. I don't remember the bouncer, but I'll be the bouncer.
That's when they go into the club. It's so just a small...
Oh, I see him now. Okay.
Paul, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, I think when I put in my my headset, nobody can hear me. I've been speaking on the headset.
You've been talking all along? Well, I know, Cynthia, you want a part, don't you?
I'll be the bouncer.
No. Why don't we give you...
No, really, my voice isn't that good this morning. I better just...
Well, you could be one of the demons, then. You could be, you and David will be, you could be,
He could be the demon. You've got Cheryl and David for the demon.
And I'll be Vinny Solomon. All right, so I think we got the characters. This is an easy one to populate. Some of them are less.
I'm looking at Barbara here. She's a good part for me, because that's kind of how I feel right now.
Okay, so...
Are you setting
us up? Go to chapter 2. The Judgment of Solomon. So starts with Barbara.
Okay. You're not going to read the opening page, huh? The temple ones are dead. They're put out the hits from hell. Okay. All right.
Yeah, right.
Here we go.
You just said.
You did it. Fine.
Baby, I know just how this feels. What's in your head right now? Everything, every moment's like stained glass. It's all right now and full of this heroic fire as if all of existence was a light and... Oh, God damn. And all the stars are... How was that?
Good. Don't talk. Don't try to talk, Barbara. You're hurt. I'm going to get you to a hospital. But yes, you're right about how we feel. I feel full of something. It's meaning. I feel full of meaning.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But it's confusing, right? Inside you, it's like... It's like there's two of you, but somehow there's only one. There's Sophie, but there's somebody else, too. And she... Oh, Jesus. And she might not even recognize a modern hospital.
Don't worry. Some symbols always mean the same thing. And for archetype of wisdom is eternal.
Okay, now we...
Kyrie Escalipius, hail the god of healing. This woman is hurt.
Okay, somebody be the doctor or the nurse there.
Okay, I'll be the doctor. Oh my God, look at that. She's flying. Wow. Are those snakes moving? Come on, get a care pod up here.
She has been wounded by an unclean thing. Her injuries may be infected.
Listen, whoever said that's me that caught me, they're going to send other stuff, especially...
If you could put her in the pod, now stay calm when you transport her to the sun where there's an emergency.
Especially now while you're still dazzled by it all, there's worse things than sneeze.
It's texture time.
Ray Sullivan is a gangster.
Who's that talking?
I don't know which one's talking.
Texture is,
anticipated,
yes.
Oh, the next page is Betty Sullivan meeting the gangsters.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Which one is...
Skip the pages.
Which bad guy has the glasses on?
Let's see here.
I'm hopping ahead.
Andrus has the glasses on, so is the other one.
Okay.
So that's you.
Okay. You could have made the friggin' triangle bigger. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, you're good.
Shut up. I'm Benny Solomon, and I run you people. You do what I say, and I find you work. Okay? So let's get acquainted. Tell me your names and your ambitions. That kind of thing.
My name's Marcosius. Used to be Dominion, you know. In the 1,200 years, I hope to return to the seventh throne.
Okay, Andres, that's you, David.
I think we lost.
Hold on. Okay, you know, my name's Andres, and there's 30 posses backing me up, sucker. So what's this?
Well, sometimes I do contract work for this outfit, the temple. They just fumbled a hit in New York. They used a Smee. And now they want me to fix it.
A Smee, huh?
Classy.
Yeah, ain't it?
The hit's tricky. Some kind of recurring walk-in from the other side. Her name's Promethea. Means nothing to me. You want me? We should whack her. You whack just her, or the host body as well.
The host's a teenage girl. Yeah, kill her and completely annihilate the walk-in. Not even fairy deaths left, okay?
I think we're on the same page, Mr. Solomon.
New York? Hey, we're already there.
Good.
So, okay, we need, who's, somebody be a henchman?
Here. You're good.
Yeah, but you got a line there, Paul.
Oh, yeah. Well, Ernie, that went rather well, don't you think?
Yeah, sure, Mr. Solomon, but I'm thinking, kind of wondering, who you, you know, where you talking to?
Oh. This is Dexter. This is Update New York Tonight. News just in of a firefight on Fifth Avenue between New York's premier science heroes, the Five Tall Guys, and Slippery on the Path, the Painted Doll. Those reports suggest that Marv is the wounded. Also, Roger and Kenneth are apparently no longer speaking to each other. Weather-wise, expect these showers to continue throughout the night. Pathogen levels are tolerable to good. This is Texture. Entertainment, tonight's hottest spot is Trotsky's on St. Mark's Place, where English invalid rock sensation The Limp concluded their U.S. tour. If you're under 20, chances are you're either there or know someone who is. The Limp's ironically non-ironic lead singer, Montelamar Sykes, recently called by describing new Limp album, Fist and Shout, as more handsome than Jesus. In other news, less than a year in office, and New York's first multiple personality disorder mayor is already fired his sex scandals. Mayor Sonny Basketball was constantly stalling any investigation by demanding separate hearings for each of his 42 personalities. This is Texture. Digital update, New York Tonight. On the restaurant front, everyone is talking about chic new Central Park hangout borscht. In the old-fashioned atmosphere, diners enjoy sumptuous five courses plus anecdotes.
The phone is ringing. Hello?
She made me feel a total failure. Her boyfriend stepped on my inhaler. Oh.
Yeah, what? Yeah, this is she. Huh? It is not. Stop. What are you doing that voice for?
And when I tried my heart to pour out, she hit me and put my jaw out. I said,
ow! What do you mean something happened? Can you get over here? Where are you?
And those lonely adolescent nights, I wept into a pair of stolen tights.
A phone booth near the hospital? Sophie, that's miles away. Well, yeah, I can meet you out back, but you'll take forever.
And my only comfort in those tortured hours were towels I borrowed from the native shower.
Yeah, okay, I'll be outside. Only because this band sucks worse than gravity. Hey, Sophie, don't hang up. Don't. Damn, what a bitch. Well, if she thinks I went in here longer than 10 minutes, she can smooch my butt. Who does she think she is? Beep. Ah! 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 She-Ra! Holy God, baby, from She-Ra! Ah!
Stacia, be quiet. I'm Sophie, in a way. Some things happen to me. Now, when I take my hand away, please don't make any noise. Do you understand? Good. Now, I can't explain this. You'll have to trust me. I've fused somehow with, I don't know, some kind of living story. I've become the character I was writing my term paper on. I'm Promethea.
This is a problem how exactly? I mean, you finally got boobs, you're all special effects and everything. It's like you're living in a fairy tale.
Yes, but I don't know how to shut the storybook. Not before I get the part with the wolf. Okay, now we got the demons.
Okay.
Well, she's definitely been here.
Okay. And the other demon?
It's David, isn't it? I don't know.
Just somebody take it. One of the demons take it.
No problem. We'll find her.
I'll ring the air to the police information. Hey, you know it's 1989, hell. That makes it nearly 20, 30 years since anyone called us.
I know how things look now. It's nice.
Trump is on St. Mark's Place for English info at Rock Station, the Limp, including their U.S. tour. If you're under 20, chances are you're either there or know someone who is.
This sounds like a white location.
Good, let's take the cab.
Well, where's the finesse of that? We could go in a crowd of what?
I just want to see what they're like to ride in a taxi.
Sure, fella. Where to?
Okay.
Who's the dude with the glasses?
Okay, so that's me, I guess.
Okay.
Somewhere called Trotsky and somewhere called St. Mark's Place.
Yeah. Oh, no, sorry. Cab driver, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I knew it. So you guys, from out of town, I gotta say, you look like serious characters. I mean, no offense, but you look like underworld type. Am I right?
Yes, we're underworld types from out of town.
Ha! I knew it. You just got that aura, you know?
I love this. You know, Holly, you got quite an aura yourself.
As you know, people call me Wally. What do you mean I got an aura?
Oh, you know. Don't, Grandpa, please. You're hurting me. Oh, no. Oh, please, don't.
Andres, come on. This guy's not on our list.
No, well, he ought to be. Ain't that right, Wall? I mean, Jesus Christ, your own granddaughter, and she's what? 6, 7?
Oh, dear God.
This is St. Mark's Place, right up here. You can drop us off.
Yeah, sure. Listen, Wally, we've been from out of town. I ain't carrying you any cash, but I want you to take this. You know what it's for, right?
Yeah, I guess I do, thanks.
Andrus, I said leave it.
So, you just wrote a poem about Promethea and you became her?
That's right. Do you think I want to be Sophie again? I should write about her?
I don't know. Maybe she's acting more like Sophie. Come on, let's go watch the limb so you can hit on some really ugly guy in a small van truck.
Sophie doesn't act like that.
Yeah, right. Look, I got a path out stamp on my hand. I press on yours. Look like you got one, too.
But what about how I'm dressed and the caduceus?
Look, everybody's going to think you're a drug side effect. Maybe just some new fan. Just relax. You cover your magic wand thing with that cloak or whatever. Now try to act normal. Hi, fat hippie guy. You checked me and my friend out a while back, remember? Look, we got stamped.
Sure, guess, come on in.
That's right, it's me. Yeah, cheers, not very much. This one's called Beat Me Like an Egg by Fabergé.
Oh, great, they're still playing. Come on, you gotta see this Telebra guy. He is so lame.
Huh?
I think we've got...
There's a client. He has to be that. Stink of myrrh everywhere, plus she's made us.
Okay, that's the other demon.
I don't like that she's going into the music hall. Too many bystanders.
Ain't no bystanders in war, Marchionius. Get over it, you know. Andrus.
Hello, I'm Andrus. I'm from the Howling. If you move your carcass for a moment, I need to see that lady that you just allowed here.
Mister, I ain't never heard of your band. You want in, you gotta go through me.
Yeah,
On a bed of satin and brocade, pan my head with a garden spade. Tell me up with flax, or better still, wrapped in barbed wire, roll me down a hill.
Stacy, over by the door.
Please, what's going on over there? Who are those two men?
Have me duffed up like a Portuguese thug. Make me bleed over my parents' best rug.
Men? You mean you can see two men?
Why? What can you see?
Something vile with a cold shade male glove. Torture me with your love. These are the demons, folks.
Listen, lady, let's not make this any messier than we have to, okay? Nobody wants a big scene.
Sophie, what do they want? Are they?
Get out of here, Stacia. Get everybody out of here. They're demons.
Torture me with your love. Oh, yeah. Torture me with your love.
What you got done under that rope?
Don't even touch them. They're from a place much denser than here. That you'll fly apart like steam.
Smear us with good goo from a crucified dove. Torture me with your love.
Uh-oh. Caduceus, she's packing heat.
Okay, screw this. Solomon said she was a walk-in, Caduceus. Hell, that's God stuff.
No, maybe just a demi goddess. We can still bake her if you don't lose it.
Torture me with your love.
Torture me with your singing?
Yeah, I was going to say, don't give up your day job. Yeah.
Make me dress up in my sister's clothes, then attach electrodes to my nose and hold me down and have your wicked way. Like an egg by Fabergé. Run me over in a Peterbilt truck. Find some sailor that you.
Oh, geez. Is someone kicking off in the audience?
I don't know.
Hey,
don't call me
sir.
Oh, brothers, sisters, brothers, sisters, why are we fighting?
Why are we fighting? What do you want with me?
It is important.
It is her.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Which demon do you want to do that?
Go ahead. Just one of you talk.
It isn't personal. A group called the Temple want you destroyed. They contacted the Galicia through a magician called Benny Solomon. We do what he says, or he binds us. In torment for a century or so. I mean, what would you do in my position?
Ah! What does Goetia mean? Is it Goetia or Goetia? I always...
Goetia.
Goetia?
Goetia. Hmm? You ask a lot of questions, bitch. Too bad the rules say we got to answer it. Goetia means howling. It's a chittering of a billion insects in the night. It's what sounds like where we live.
Damn you.
Bob, everybody get out.
Sit there, done that.
Rizaptum?
Plug.
Look. Look what she's done to me.
You're not a goddess, you're a demigoddess. What in all the world are you?
I'm Promethea. There's nothing else like me. I am the holy splendor of the imagination. I cannot be destroyed. Paul?
Paul, yeah.
Oh, is that me? It looks I can see sort of well animal shapes. Do you call a cow with wings? Dang, that joke's in bad taste.
Come on, this place is on fire. Sophie? Oh. The demons are screaming here, I think.
Okay, come on, demons.
Ah, you bitch! You bitch! You cow! You whore! Andrew, shut up! Take it like a soldier! We have to get away from here! Dead things before us! Unravel us! Help me open the door to this area!
God, Sophie, that's just so cool. How'd you know to do that stuff?
I don't know. I just... Stasia? I thought I told you to flee. This place, mortal. Why have you disobeyed me?
Solomon told us she was a walk-in. Just some Indian spirit guide or something. I tell you, he made serious error of judgment. I'm going to roast him on a bonfire with his own children. I mean it.
Andres, if we don't open the gate, we'll be ashes.
Mortal, I shall not tell you twice. You must, Stasia. She's right, you have to flee this place, or...
Whoa, you listen, Sophie Bynes. Maybe you got the worst of this stick and a stupid hat, but you're not the boss of me. In fact, it isn't my dream, okay? It has to be, because your dreams are boring. You're about losing your address book.
Stasia, behind you.
Huh?
I'll meet ya. I'll make sure to carve that in foot-deep letters on the diamond gateposts of hell. We'll meet again.
They're gone, Dave.
Sophie, help me. Jesus, I gotta wake up.
Stasia, the Caduceus. Grab the Caduceus.
You're kidding. This is texture. Did you update New York tonight? This is just in. The Lips U.S. tour ended in chaos after a fire and reported homicide atrocities on St. Mark's Place. The frontman, Montella Morsais, is said to be distressed by the incident and is to receive mental and spiritual counseling. In other news, Mark of the Five Tall Guys has been taken to South Tower Hospital after a disastrous confrontation with the painted doll. The doll himself has reportedly been killed in an explosion before such a parent did die this year. Meanwhile, one of Mayor Sonny Baskerville's multiple personalities, a shy albino named Doug, has confessed to charges of molestation. Doug maintains, however, that he himself was freshly molested by another personality called Big Rudy. The case continues. Up next, Weeping Gorilla Mania. Is a popular morose monkey a cause of teen suicide? A bereaved mother speaks out. This is texture.
Stasia? Okay.
Okay, that was our
show. We got through it. Well, did you notice that the rock, the bad singer, the rocker, you know, the singing rocker, he saw the demons?
Yeah, he did. Yes.
Yeah.
Towards the end there.
Towards the end. Does he develop later on?
He sang so bad, he evoked a...
He sang so bad that they decided his singing was demonic.
Well,
over
there. Yeah, they sort of set up something with him and tell him our sides.
Oh, okay.
We never do anything with it, really, you know? We don't really do much with him, unfortunately. He seems like a good character.
Yeah.
He comes back a bit later in the story, but not that much happens with him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just one of those minor characters. There are many of them. Come and go.
Well, that's real life.
Yeah. I get so involved looking at the pictures. I love the illustrations.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, half the story is just in the illustration, mm-hmm. which is the way of graphic novels, I
right.
guess, you know, but, yeah. Yeah.
So what it does is it forces us to use both sides of our brain.
Yeah.
something that some of us have a difficult time doing.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hey, Sherry, you're in this. There's a spilled ashtray up here.
Well, yeah.
One of the things I was thinking is that some of these early chapters are sort of like they're like little tests before we get into the true esoteric aspect of the tarot. we have to deal with some of this backstory and this demon spawn stuff, which may cause some of our more squeamish people to decide that Prometheus is not their cup of tea.
Any squeams here?
Listen, okay, so we're talking about the functions of the demons, right? Which are, okay, let me see. Anyone has a good book on... I have several books on demonology here, let me see.
Well, they're actually...
Yeah, but you know what? It's a profoundly spiritual document in the sense of acknowledging evil as evil.
Yep.
Which not every...
Yeah, but they have the guy who's a child molester kill himself.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's 100%. And that is an indication of that.
Demons, they get a bad rap. They're really forces, but they're forces that are not...
They're just following orders.
They're just following an order. That's all they are.
Right, right.
And it's...
It's up to human beings.
It's up to human beings. They serve their purpose. I mean, I have, okay, the Dictionary of Demonology. Let's see if we find these guys here.
Well, no, actually, go to the notes.
Yeah,
I... A lot on the notes.
Mm-hmm.
And you will see that they pulled up a... from a church Satanist home, the seal of Marchesius.
Okay, I have Andre. Here's the. This is from. This is a very old book. Colin De Plancy. If I'm pronouncing them. Andras, Grand Marquis of Hell. He appears to have a body of an angel and the head of a wood owl, to be riding a black wolf and carrying in his hand a pointed saber. He teaches those. He teaches those whom he favors to kill their enemies, masters and servants. He stirs up trouble and dissension. He commands 30 legions. And the other one?
Josias.
Okay, let's see. M-A-R?
C-H-O-S-I-A-S.
Hmm. Okay.
German Satanist homepage.
Yeah, I saw that.
If you go to the notes, you can see also the Steel of the Goethe webpage.
Okay.
Marchosius is a demon who assists in self-defense.
What page
is
the notes
you
on, Paul?
Huh? This is from the notes. Remember, I said download the notes. Go to about start. Go to page 28, and I think it's over on page 30 that I'm talking from right now. There's a lot on the demons. How to summon Marchosius. There's a note to that.
Believe it or not, he doesn't have Marchosius here.
In the dictionary?
No.
No.
He has Mozart. Believe it.
Really?
Yes.
This is Rebecca. And
yeah.
I wonder if, at least in Prometheus, the demons are an embodiment of human sin.
Well, but they're legitimately recorded entities.
And they do look like what was just described. You know, I mean, in the illustration. Very definitely. The
well,
body of an angel, the head of an owl, riding a black wolf, you know, I mean,
there's a book that he used. When I was skimming through these notes, they were very clear. It's not in English. skim over the page.
What language is it in, Paul?
It's the French. And those are the, that's where he got the illustrations that he gave to his, he gave to the illustrator.
The Lesser Key of Solomon. I have this book, The Lesser Key of Solomon. Where the...
Yeah,
but where is it?
Actually, that's been recently... the whole Goethe, the whole Lesser Key of Solomon has been recently retranslated and published by Weiser. I mean, within the last year. A new translation, not based on the Little and McGregor Mathers version, which they
I mean, I have, there's something on Wikipedia on him.
Okay.
In Delirium Realm, I've got that on Delirium Realm. It says that he was a great Marquis of Hell who commanded 30 legions. Marchiosus appears as a she-wolf with griffin wings and a serpent's tail, and spits flames. In human form, Marchiosus appears as a grand soldier. He obeys exorcists and the domination of angels.
Wow. Which is, so they're kind of consistent with their characters as described briefly in these handbooks. You know, these,
Yep.
But
McGregor Mathers says he's the 35th spirit. He's a great mighty marquise appearing at first in the form of a wolf, having griffin wings and a serpent tail and vomiting fire. After a time, he, at the command of the exorcist, he putteth on the shape of a man, and he's a strong fighter. He was of the order of dominations. He governeth 30 legions of spirits. He told his chief, who was Solomon, that after 1,200 years, he had hopes to return unto the seventh throne, and his seal is this, to be made and worn as a llama.
Where are you reading from, David?
I clicked on this. I was on page 30, what was that, page 36, Paul?
I don't have it.
It's one of the links that's in the PDF that you have access to.
Yeah, click on the link.
I don't have the PDF in front of me. I'm in bed, so I don't have my computer in front of me. I'll look it up later.
I think that one of the other things we might want to is the Caduceus. There's an argument that I read somewhere, not in these notes here, that the Caduceus with of Toph Hermes is different than the Caduceus of Aslepskos. Yeah.
I think Clayton was discussing that last week.
Oh, yeah, that's one of my things, that the medical profession made a mistake, that they've adopted the Caduceus, but what they really meant to have was the water of Asclepius, which is one snake, not two.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so I didn't read
that.
Really
Caduceus is not a medical symbol, it's a symbol of transformation. Yeah.
Okay. And so then the question is what do you think the difference is? Because the Caduceus is going to come back many times. We know now that it's sort of Promethea's weapon of choice. What do you think it means?
Well, the water of Asclepius, one snake, is about healing the body through dreams. Snake is the snake of dreams. The Caduceus is about transforming the soul. It's the Kundalini, you know. The two snakes are in India. I don't know too much about it. I know that they say that there's these two energy streams around
the Ida and the Pingala.
Yeah.
Going
so that's
down,
what
which is
the two snakes
are. The left
are.
And the right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the wand is the spine.
Uh-huh.
And at the top, you know, it opens up into a usually wings, you know, and sometimes light. So that's like the opening of the crown chakra.
Yeah, and actually, in some of the pictorial Ida and the Pingala cross over at certain chakra points.
Uh-huh.
Specifically
right.
The, at the root canal, and then also definitely at the Anahata, the heart chakra. There might also be a crossover point at the Manipuri.
There's different versions of the Caduceus, too. You know, some have seven crossings, the seven chakras.
Yeah.
Most have, I think it's like three crossings.
Yeah, that's the way I used to see
that's
it drawn.
The standard version, yeah.
It was with three crossings. And I think if you look at the Caduceus, it looks like it has three crossings.
Actually, on the cover, it has five.
There's five crossings, good to know. And so that is now a little lore from the Kundalini. And I know there's a lot written on this stuff now that I have never looked at. But the Ida is the feminine side. And if your Kundalini gets raised where your balance is, so-called physical side, you tend to somatize things. This is where you would tend to have physical illnesses. Now, if you go to the Pingala side, which is the so-called masculine side, then you're more likely just to go stark raving mad.
Been there, done that, went bad.
So you get really sick or you get really insane.
Well, it's all the issues. They keep talking about her becoming insane.
Uh-huh.
And this, when I was reading it, I was reading when it was originally published, and I thought there was a suggestion that the whole thing is she's going to realize the whole thing is a psychotic delusion, but they never go there.
Yeah.
Like in the first three or four issues, they keep warning her about insanity.
Right.
But then they never follow that up. That issue never comes up again later.
But actually, this is one of the things that makes it kind of interesting, is when you initially do this stuff, when you initially get it, become aware of the immaterial and so forth and so on, going nuts is pretty easy. You know, or somatizing.
Almost seems like the thing to do, doesn't it? So.
Yeah. I mean, and then learning, having a being balanced and having good boundaries so that one can maintain a sense of integrity going in this a world of utter transformation and imagination can be pretty intense. So in some ways, I think that it's always in the initial phases of you know, opening when one opens to these psychic realms. Depending upon your background, you can easily think you're nuts and decide that you need some pills to calm yourself down.
Well, yeah, I mean, anybody who says they hear voices, the immediate response is, okay, they're crazy.
Well, yeah.
When I worked at, I worked very briefly as an audiologist at Creedmoor, a mental institution here in Queens, and there's a lovely, lovely, beautiful young woman who all of us were very concerned about because she really was so normal in every way, but she did hear voices, and they were very frightening to her. Since that time, it's been implied that some of these oral voices, this phenomena, can be like a sort of an epileptic seizure of the oral auditory aspects of the of cognition of the brain itself. And she was taught very, very painstakingly, slowly. It took about 6 months. For her to literally hear the voices, ignore them, and let them go. It's almost like monkey mind. Meditation with your monkey mind. Only this was something in addition to. And she was very successful, and she was able to go out and get into, first I believe it was like a sheltered workshop type environment, and then she went out to the community.
What's so interesting is, and what is not done, and I know people know others have a story.
Right.
Yeah, there's always a story. I have a friend whose son was diagnosed as schizophrenic and alcoholic, bipolar schizophrenic, okay?
Yeah.
She went to a meeting, a support meeting of parents of children with yada, 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 that type of thing. But what's so interesting is one of the parents didn't care, saved up their money, and paid out of pocket for a CAT scan for the kid. And they found a lesion in the brain. And I know of clients of mine in which they have relatives, they go into the ER, and they don't do a CAT scan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I tell people, I says, get a CAT scan before you commit a relative.
Oh my God, that's really so true.
Before you commit a relative to any type of other therapies, get the CAT scan. But you'd be surprised how many people are lemmings and they won't do it. They just don't do it.
Or don't know to do it.
Don't know to do it. Cannot afford to do it.
Yeah. It's because it is an out-of-pocket expense. It's not part of, how would you say, the protocol.
The protocol, right. You're asking to go beyond protocol.
Protocols of Zion or some horrible document, and it's literally like that. Yeah,
I know. There's an organization, or it's like a network on the internet or something called HVN, Hearing Voices Network. And it's for people who hear voices and don't accept the medical diagnosis of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in many cultures across history, hearing voices was actually considered a gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not something wrong with you, but something special, you know. And I don't know... Well, I don't know that that's a wrong idea, you know.
Depends
what your voices tell you to say. If
you want to
convince you to shoot somebody, you're in
right.
trouble.
Has anybody here read outdated now in terms of science, but it's still an interesting read? The Origin of Consciousness to the Breakdown of the Bicameral Mind.
You need to read that.
Yes, I have it.
I think I've dealt with like 20 years or more.
I have it, yes.
They have done some research, and what they were thinking was the bicameral mind was that one side of the brain was talking to the other side
mm-hmm.
of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Now what they actually think from having done other research is that let me say that what they actually think is going on is the cerebrum is talking to the cerebellum, which are you have the two sides of the brain set up, you know, where there's this thing and they're connected by the corpus callosum. Yeah. Well, there's another thing is that the brain also has like levels, and this is there's a cerebrum and then there's the cerebellum which is over it. And so it's sort of like the inner brain. Of course, there's the reptile brain, then there's this inner brain, and then there's this exterior brain. So it works in levels this way. And what's interesting is a guy who has been working with brain scans in terms of having people who are hallucinating for scanning their brains. And stuff. So there's a psychiatrist. His name is Googe. I think his last name is Googe.
Like G-O-U-D-G-E, Googe.
Something like that, yeah. But and it's published by Weiser, and he's written several books on this topic. But basically what he's saying is that it's one part of the brain is talking to the other part of the brain. And that this is a very common phenomenon, and auditory hallucinations, hearing voices, hearing something talk to you, or hear something, you think you hear it, but you know it's going on inside your head. But it sounds like you're
mm-hmm.
hearing it. It's going through your the way you process sound.
I have the book upstairs, but
but that was the book I was trying to tell you, Paul, where the concept of the daemon comes from.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's one version of it.
Right.
And
uh-huh.
people hear this thing. Other people will see it visually, that the visualization isn't necessarily discrete, but the auditory hallucination is very common.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be crazy to hear voices. Maybe you need to be a little stressed, but you don't need to be crazy.
Well, you also have to learn, you know, some of the, actually now we're learning that the start can start very early on, that schizophrenia doesn't necessarily start with young adults, but it can start with children.
Yeah.
And the diagnosis is being made earlier and earlier. At any rate, the point is just teaching them social skills. You know, you're hearing this, that's fine. It may not be an appropriate time to talk back or to tell people about it. You may have to wait, and in other words, help them find a container to express it. Drawing, writing, whatever is socially, you know, whatever is age appropriate.
My third son was bipolar and schizophrenic, and when he was very small, he would tell me that those men, he would call them those men, referring to the voices that he was hearing. And I mean, we're talking when he was like 7 or 8 years old. He would say, "Well, those other men said." And for a long time, I, you know, of course, I'm looking at him and thinking, "What other men?" You know, but he was diagnosed at a fairly young age. So.
And what were they able to do for him? And
they tried, you know, with the medication, various cocktails, as they call it. Unfortunately, it was not a successful therapy with him. My son did pass away, but it was just, I don't know. I mean, as a mother, you know, you look at it and you think, okay, what do I do about this? You know, I mean, because to him it was very normal. It's
right.
What he heard. You know, it wasn't anything odd. And as a child, you know, you accept pretty much what's going on with you as normal. So I'm glad that the earlier diagnoses are being made, because I think, you know, that it's needed, you know. I don't know. I don't even know where I was going with that, but...
Well, you're a very brave mom, and all I can say is it's a tough road. I don't know how long ago this goes, but... Yeah, things have gotten better. They're not great, but they're better.
Well, I was going to say, my son was 27 when he died. He did overdose. So much of it was trying to self-medicate, trying to make himself normal. You know, he would say, why can't I just be normal, you know? But he does have a son who is now 4, and believe me, we are watching Harper very closely any signs of this, you know. So... hopefully we can intervene at an earlier age with him, you know, than was able to be done before. So, I mean, may not materialize.
Oh,
I used to run a group for schizophrenics. One of my many incarnations, I was a minister, and I used to work in the Tenderloin in San Francisco. You know, it's just basically people who were living in town who were mostly medicated and, you know, surviving as best they can and just basically dealing with the everyday issues of trying to be a human being. While you have this disability of schizophrenia, which meant that, you know, sometimes the, you know, things were, things. But one of the things that's true for schizophrenia, it's also true for, people who are new to practicing metaphysics, is that these voices generally have a compelling sense of authenticity.
Yes.
And this is why you think of them as revelation. In fact, we might even think that part of the idea of evolution or revelation that people have comes from this early form of ego formation, and I do think it's an early pre-ego formation, in which the voices are God. They are directive in the sense of being infallible and true, and there's no sense of doubt with them.
Right.
And this was emphasized a great deal in the Origin of Consciousness book that I alluded to earlier.
Right. I'm using that book.
Is it Harper? Your grandson?
Yes, Harper. Uh-huh.
I think what Johanna said is really an important piece to mention to Harper's doctor. You know, that this may be something that you may want to look into, the cat scan. I'm very impressed with that, Johanna.
I cannot tell you, and I don't know why it's not part of the protocol.
I agree.
Because what happened was this woman saved her dollars or whatever, actually got a doctor to okay the procedure, and they found he had a lesion. They took care of the lesion, and he was cured.
Oh, my God.
See, and how many thousands of others, you know, could have been, you know.
I'm dealing with a client now. In which her sister, she saw her sister, her eyes roll back and fall. The sister's now at a mental institution.
Oh my.
Isn't that a form of narcolepsy, though?
No, I think that she had a seizure. But they didn't give her a CAT scan.
And they never did a CAT scan?
They never did a CAT scan. They're not even listening to the sister. She's under the protocol of psychiatry. She didn't go under the protocol because the sister then found her in her urine, sleeping in her own urine,
well,
and everything like that. And when she called the ER,
a severe seizure causes that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When they called the ER, the technicians had her down as a psychiatric case.
Oh. And boy, I'll tell you something. Once they dub you anything, that is the only course that they follow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for instance.
The labels are dangerous.
Well, any labels. It doesn't matter whether
that's
it's psychiatric or not. I mean, day before yesterday, I went to the hospital with chest tightness and, you know, irregular heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they immediately did a heart catheterization on me and a CT scan of the chest and didn't find anything, which is the good news. I'm still having the symptoms, but they sent me home. It's like, I came in as a heart patient. They treated me as a heart patient. They released me because they found nothing wrong with the heart.
The catheterization, was it a 5-hour procedure?
No, it was a short one.
Okay,
yeah.
Now, the thing is,
but, I mean,
how old are you, dear? How old are you?
I'm 59.
59.
Well, that's the answer.
Yeah, of course. You know, but I mean, there's nothing wrong with my heart, nothing wrong with my lungs.
Are you in menopause?
Very good news.
Or did you pass menopause? Are you in menopause?
You know, I not to overshare, but I had a hysterectomy 30 years ago, so I really don't know.
No, okay.
You know.
Even women without a hysterectomy, these things can start in your 30s, the whole slow process, and the heart can become, you know, you can have these irregularities.
I had one recently.
So different than men in that regard.
Yeah, I had one. I thought I had a heart attack. Cynthia knows that. I went to the doctor within 20... I didn't immediately go to the ER. I said, I'm going to just wait this out. I took an aspirin.
Uh-huh.
And I got home, and I knew within 48 hours you can get the enzyme test whether you had a heart attack or not. So I went immediately to the doctor, took the test. I didn't have anything wrong with me.
Right.
Took an EKG. I had indigestion and a lot of stress.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I ate some heavy food. I got upset over a situation. And I literally thought I was having a heart attack because the pain went all the way up on the side of my carotid artery into my jaw, that my molars even hurt.
Oh
yeah,
my God.
I've had that. Sad. Remember I told you I woke up at 3 in the morning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just a few weeks ago. Yeah, it's acid reflux.
Yeah, it was a bad case of acid reflux.
Well,
and also the fact that my mother and my mother's side has heart conditions. I mean, also you compound everything, and then you be, you know, and you say, oh my God, I have to go to the hospital.
I mean, is this Mary Beth?
It is Mary Beth. Yes.
Mary Beth. I mean, you've had a great deal of stress in your life.
Well, yeah, but not recently.
No,
the last couple of years have been fine. You know.
And sometimes this hits you after, like when you're going on that adrenaline.
Yeah.
Crisis. It's when you no longer are in that crisis modality that your own body can talk to you.
Yeah.
And you may have also had a seasonal reaction. You may have had a change of season reaction.
Right. Well, I mean, I am going to see my regular doctor on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not at all happy with... I mean, it's not that I want to find something wrong, but my point was, you go in for anything,
mm-hmm.
they immediately label you, okay, this is what we're looking for here. I mean, if you're talking to a neurologist, they're going to try to find something
right.
wrong.
Right.
I went to a neurologist.
If you're talking to a cardiologist, they're going to want to find something wrong with your heart.
Yeah. Yeah. I was strung along for 5 years by a neurologist.
Yeah.
So an orthopedist found out my right hip was made out of lace.
And wow.
Within 2 weeks, I had a right hip replaced.
Yeah.
Wow.
After 5 years of stupid neurologist, yes. Yeah.
But I've, you know, back to what we were talking about with the mental illness diagnosis, you know, it's like once they've labeled you, mm-hmm. that's all they're looking at. They don't
mm-hmm.
go beyond that.
Yeah,
and it's just insane. You know, it's just absolutely insane. It's like five fingers instead of a hand working on you. You know, you've got five specialists.
I want to interpose here a little bit with the direction of the conversation, because
yeah.
I want to bring it back to Promethea, and I also want to bring it into something that we do. I assume that most of us here are tarot readers,
yes,
to some degree, and the sometimes we may do the same thing
uh-huh.
in terms of diagnosis of configuration of cards, and we'll say, ah, I remember this. I've seen this before, you know. The last time I saw this configuration, they die.
Yeah.
So you have your experience, and so you start reading the cards through your experience of reading the cards. And that could be misleading, because the cards could be, even though they're the same, maybe the same configuration, even the same cards, They may be alluding to a different level
exactly.
for this particular person. And so one of the ways that that comes up is, how do we, as the skillful navigators of the symbolic, keep from relying too heavily on, the way the cards meant in the past for us, and how do we stay open to the possibility that they mean new
things? I think it's important to freshen up and play with different aspects of definition and override. Since literally, when I was journaling this morning, I thought of the wands. I thought of the pips in general, numbers 2 through 10 or 1 through 9. As being the 9 months of gestation. It could be of an actual child, it could be of a creative project, a business, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that the ones were the initial aha penetration, so to speak, sexual penetration,
the erotic
penetration.
That's the 9 minutes of intercourse.
Yeah, right. Forget the orgasm. 9 minutes of intercourse.
And the cup, the filled womb.
Or the 9 seconds, you know.
Yeah, right.
And because, you know, our cards were designed in the early centuries, the swords are the fears of death for the child and the mother.
Yeah.
Or that whole fearful thing of, you know, so many women lost their lives in childbirth. So many projects that we undertake may not come to fruition. And how do we change that kind of language into something
so
positive?
So the swords is a Caesarian section.
Maybe to save mother and child. And pentacles are the riches of the new life, the new project. And so on and so forth, in different states.
Mm.
I'm trying to think of it in those terms.
Well, that's a very good exercise in and of itself, but I think just the idea of that, of really deliberately trying to put a different construct on
right.
what we're used to thinking about, something that I think is a very simple way to shake things up, if you would, is to just use different decks. I mean,
different,
you know,
decks. Yes, I do that.
Do
yeah.
not get mm-hmm. stuck with yeah. just using the same deck all the time, you know,
right.
but look at a lot of different decks, and God knows there are a lot of different ones out there, so a lot of them on my bookshelf. But I just, I don't know, anything you can do to come to it with a fresh mind is helpful.
I'm working with Jill Dodonsky in a creative coaching paradigm.
Uh-huh.
And we do a lot of guided imageries.
Uh-huh.
And I'm working with the idea of taking the tarot and working it through. Not a fixed guided imagery where you would say, well, pool, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But per client, per situation. Taking the cards, the three card spread, whatever it is we're doing, and working it as a guided imagery.
I just cut the cards, the toss deck, on today's reading.
Yeah.
And, okay, it's the cards are laid out like a triangle, three card spread.
Okay.
The first card was Virtue, which is the Three of Wands. To the left, on the base of the triangle, to the left is the Ace of Swords. And to the right, the Ten of Swords.
Ooh.
It's just a basic triangular spread of energies around today's reading to explain the...
The Ace of Swords certainly fits that story.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The conflict on the mental level and the sort of, you know, spiritual level.
Right. And I'm also, I see here, and I can't find my book on the top deck. In the Ace of Swords, he has some writing.
As the Quadratus, too.
Mm-hmm.
The Ace of Swords, and now Promethean. So
right, right, exactly. It could be E-A... I don't know, it's O-E-A-R-U-L or something on good old magnifying glass helps you a lot in tarot. I am telling you, you need to get a illuminated magnifying glass. And also they it has the snakes around the hilt of the sword.
Right.
And I don't know what these, I think they're Greek letters. On the the shaft of the sword itself.
Sorry, what card are you on?
The
Ace of Swords.
The Ace of Swords in the Toth deck.
Thank you.
So if anyone can type in and what those letters mean. And it looks like endings and beginnings here, you know, beginnings and endings, with the virtue crowning.
Well, one of the things that comes up for the whole issue of the Ace of Swords, particularly the Ace Ten spread, which is what we have here as the foundation, is we're talking about intentionality, but thought in its full. Full ramifications, both intentional or true, you know, thought is reflecting what is true, and also, and 10 you could see is also where you have the sort of the beginning again, the way I teach you to read the 10, the starting over. And you can also see that you have the full range of that's transformative. In other words, there's levels of truth. There's one level of truth, and then there is a truth which is profoundly other
mm-hmm.
than the first truth.
Just like there are levels of the brain. There you go.
And of course,
that's an interesting way to look at the cards also.
Well, also, when you can see if you see the Three of Wands then being the controlling thing here. And then, of course, what you're talking about is a synthesis where the way that the swords, or the inside of the swords is stabilized is through the intentionality of the Three of Wands, which, if I heard you right, Johanna, is the one that's up at the top.
Yes, it is. The Three of Wands is on top, and the two base cards, left is the Ace, and right is the Ten. And if you notice in the Ten of Swords, the details of the hilts, one is has like a... Two will have hourglasses on them, or an egg timer, depending upon what you want to think of it as. You have the balance on top. You seem to have the crosses of across of the directions.
Alarm cross.
Similar to what you're describing is the Seven of Cups and the weight deck.
Well, this is the Ten of Swords in the Crowley deck.
Yeah. Yes, I know. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that it's like the top deck is providing us with these different choices.
And it seems like there's a heart.
Yes, it looks almost
directly
like
down of center, which, you know, maybe the heart of the situation or getting to the heart of the matter. And then you have the sacred moon.
Yes.
The crescent moon with the pentagram.
And you know something that I find very interesting too is that the tips of some of these swords are broken. Also.
Yes, they're broken, they're shattered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, one of the things is you know, the name of the card is Rune. Mm-hmm. I think the basic thing is that this is where you can press thinking to the point where it just leads you astray
and creates
suffering for yourselves and for yourself and others and that you just basically, you know, it's sort of like you have to get off that level. The level is not working for you.
Mm-hmm.
You get tangled up in your own thoughts, literally.
Well, Prometheus has a lot of that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether this is almost like at this point, you know, are we doing Prometheus or are we doing Alan Moore? The creator of Prometheus, an interesting way of looking at it.
Well, one of the ways that we could look at it is we could see that we have the materia, and by the two characters of Sophie and Stacia, we have Sophie definitely represents the one who's oriented towards the inner.
Yeah.
And she's gonna go on that inner world journey of immateria, which is, you know, a main part of, but not the only part of this story arc, which is definitely inner world stuff, and so it can be definitely delusive. Stacia, her sarcastic friend, she ultimately becomes Promethea too, but she's taking care of the exterior world.
Yeah.
And you can see the exterior world here would represent the Ida of the Caduceus. The interior world, in its extreme form of immateria, could represent the Pingala. And of course, what we're looking for always is the balance between the two.
Uh-huh.
And so you can see that each. So if we wanted to symbolize the characters, we could symbolize them. So we can see that that Stacy and Sophie are necessary twins. In other words, they're not only friends, even though they're different, but that what they do is they do represent holding the world of the worlds together.
Mm-hmm.
And even with where they do come into open conflict, I think also that we might also eventually see some of the other Prometheus that will.
Has left the conference.
We'll get a sense of what they're about. Well, that's just
No, that's on the upcoming chapters, the other Prometheus.
Let's go back. Let's continue with the 301.
Can I make a comment about that? About the other Prometheus. That's a good point of what they're about. Because, you know, what they say is that the way in which the energy gets manifested depends on the person.
Right.
So each of these people has, in a sense, determined who Prometheus is. So,
yeah, and their own take on what Prometheus is like is very different.
Yeah, exactly. And at the same time, it's all Prometheus. It's all real. But Prometheus, in a sense, like the sum of all the different people that manifest her.
Right, right.
The Prometheus always channels through a person. So Sophie is kind of high-minded, and she's, you know, artistic, and she's kind of an idealist, and sort of naive. Prometheus, in a sense, very pure.
Yeah, and Stacey's more of an opportunist.
She was channeled by her husband.
Yeah.
And so Barbara's, for me, she's very earthy and sexy and, you know, very much a kind of fighter. And so, you know, and then later on, we see Grace, who's the warrior, Promethea.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, you know, a 1920s liberated woman and, you know, full of spunk and energy.
Right.
And so she's a kind of warrior and so on. So it's very interesting to see it that way. And you know, when Bill Walcott's Promethea is like a sex goddess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you. I think it really makes sense to see it that way.
Why is the song "I'm Every Woman" coming to mind here?
Woman, hear me roar. That's another one.
What you suggest is that, like, you know, spiritual energy, at least, you know, as it comes to imagination, is never separate from personality. It can't really exist in a pure form, because a human being has to channel it through. Because that's something I never thought about with Prometheus. I think it's a really interesting point, that idea. You know, I think it relates to tarot as well. The tarot is an archetype of itself, but then it's always channeled through a human being.
And the way that that's one of one of those things that I find very instructive on a lot of levels is to get, you know, groups of tarot readers together, you know, to read the same cards like we're doing now in a way. Because what it does is that we are going to have different valid takes on what these cards mean and their significance.
Yeah. Sherry, are you still on here?
I am.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm here.
I keep waiting for you to bring up the QQPI and the Sunday chat,
I'm
not hearing it from you.
I know. I'm like, it's the I and the QQPI that you rely on.
every Sunday, Sherry leads a directed chat for a particular tarot card for a group of us from our Tarot for Life group.
Mm-hmm.
And it is amazing how many different things can be seen in the same card. But the QQPI joke is it all depends on querent, question, position, and intuition. You know, that's what the meaning of the card relies on. So it comes up every Sunday. Right, Sherry?
Yes.
Yeah, what time Sunday?
It's 11:30 Eastern Time, and we go for an hour and a half.
Yeah. And we've been doing it for a long time.
And it's open. It's not just for Tarot for Life people.
Right.
It's open to anybody.
I have to get my butt back there sometime.
Yeah.
I always have fun when I join in.
Yeah. I mean, it's very instructive, and I mean, we've been through the deck, twice, you know, going back through it again, you know, and it's just...
It's one and a half.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing.
But we've done a Sunday chat, I mean, we did the Tulsa deck, and
right.
We did... What other deck did we do? We did another deck, didn't we?
Well, we're doing the Templar, Alan Chester's Templar Tarot right
That's
now.
That's on
Thursday,
but
yeah,
the Sunday chat, I think we did another deck. I don't remember now.
Well, we do. So, I mean, we look at different decks even in the context of the chat.
This chat is you bring whatever deck you want.
And so looking at the different, at a card in several different decks, you know, at the same time, is very instructive, I think. It's very instructive. So, and it's fun, too. So, you know. But I kept waiting for Sherry to bring that up, and, you know, she's just hanging.
I know. I thought it. I thought, it's the I and the Q.
It's
the
right.
I.
Yeah, it's the I.
Well, okay, let's look at the Three of Wands as far as virtue goes. And... How would we understand the Three of Wands here?
You know, I was just thinking, the Ten of Swords kind of made me think of, like, the chaos that's going on in the world around them.
Uh-huh.
And the Ace of Swords is the singularity of Prometheus' purpose, or maybe the doorway to the Immateria.
Uh-huh.
And so, Three of Wands might be what's necessary for her to bring, like, the Immateria into the chaotic world and, you know, fix it, create peace, whatever.
Which actually fits with my idea of how this card fits in. Virtue, to me, is purity of purpose. And I think that there is a purity of purpose in Promethea. Right now, I don't think she's actually figured out what her purpose is. It's all very new to her, you know, at the point we're at in the story. But eventually, there has to be purity of purpose there. So.
Yeah, and I think it balances out the ace to the ten, the thought to the destruction. You know, it's by virtue that she'll balance it all.
Yep.
Well, and
to me that card, the ace, the Three of Wands, it's springtime. It's bringing light into the world.
It looks like tulips.
Pardon me?
I said it looks like tulips, as a matter of fact.
Yes, and it's the bringing light in the springtime, the bringing of light into the world, and it's like it's Aries at the bottom, and I guess that's the world symbol at the top, Earth, and it's just that way for me. I always read it that way. It's the coming of the light, and I think that Sophia or Prometheus bringing the light into the material.
Right. And my mainly because of the position of this reading, my emphasis would be on temperance, would be on the idea of, well, we had it, you know, it's the maintaining the sense of balance, that is, with balance, in other words, taking both sides of something and keeping them and making them and integrating them.
I agree, Paul. And, you know, looking at this card, just looking at the imagery, one could almost imagine that the two wands that are crossed across the vertical wand are the two snakes of the caduceus before they become wound together.
Yeah.
The elements are there.
Yeah, there's definitely it's this cooperation of extremes.
Mm-hmm. And I like the way that the two wands that are crossed are pointing in Johanna's configuration here. There, one is pointing to the Ace of Swords, one is pointing to the Ten of Swords,
mm-hmm.
and then we have the vertical one in the middle, which is, again, like you said, the need for balance, the need for bringing everything together. It all fits together.
Yeah. Well, I think we're about ready to wrap up. We got anything anybody wants to bring up before we actually do wrap up for the week?
Just thank you, Paul, for putting it together.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys are going to try to persist to be regular. Remember, if you can't make it sometime, we're discussing whether to record these things. If we do record them or make recordings available, they'll just be for people who want to keep up with the discussion. Because obviously the quality of the recording and what we're saying is not tight.
Just having the recording would be nice for people who can't get up in the morning.
We all have to make sacrifices, dear.
There is the problem too, Sherry, that people who can't get up in the morning can't contribute, and we need your contribution, you know.
I did it today. Woohoo!
Yeah, well, just remember, Sherry, you don't get up as early as David does. I think it
no, I know. The further you go west, man, I would be for sure a no-show.
There's a possibility that when I get back to San Francisco, we might be moving this thing to a slightly later
time frame.
I think so, definitely. I don't think you'll be able to do it.
I don't know. I don't know if I could or not. Yeah, we'll stop to see.
Your Tuesday nights might become a little less wild, so you can get up early in the morning.
Yeah, right. So, thanks a lot, folks, and we'll.
Well, thank you.
And we'll.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay. Next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Rachel has left the conference. Mary Beth.